Macmillan Audio presents Infomocracy by Malka Older. Read for you by Christine Marshall. To the Ones I Love. Chapter 1. The sign on the defunct pachinko parlor proclaims 21st century, but the style, kanji and neon outlined in individual light bulbs, who does that? Suggests it was named at a time when that was a bold look toward the future, not a statement of fact that has been accurate for more than 60 years. As Ken watches the sign draw closer and closer on his dashboard, he wonders whether the place closed as a consequence of gambling becoming illegal when that canton split off from what used to be Japan, or whether it was a function of its location on a nameless stretch of highway between two tiny towns, one of which no longer exists. He doesn't care enough to check. What is important is that it is closed, and likely to remain so, and unlikely to be watched. He gets a shock as an old-fashioned bicycle tootles by the building on his display, the rider a cocoon of parkas and scarves. It's a live feed? Ken cares enough to check on that, but is reassured to find that the camera has been focused there for almost 3 years, apparently in response to teenagers joyriding in search of ghosts. Ken shrugs mentally. He'll have to hope no one who knows enough to pay attention to him is watching. The odds are pretty good, given how many feeds there are out there and how few people know they should be interested in his actions. After months of campaign research in dense potential domino sentinels, the solitude out here is putting Ken on edge. It's a strange place to meet that happened to be convenient for both him and his contact. He took the ferry over from Korea to the west coast of Japan. The plan was just to pass through Akita on his way here, but he was able to get in a few quick lay-of-the-land surveys and shoot them up the hierarchy in case they either proved to be useful or get someone to notice his initiative and hustle. Akita felt so remote and unnoticed that he broke character a little and went beyond data gathering to do some actual campaigning, but he doubts it had any effect. The same reasons that made it safe made it useless. The people he talked to were calloused old farmers and fishermen who believe the election is local and vote for whatever party co-opts their traditional leaders. He tried to suggest to them that the supermajority was important, that it could be their sentinel that decided it, but it wasn't even that they disbelieved him. They just didn't care. In Akita, he rented a mini-motor and crossed Honshu to the eastern coast, following the old high-speed rail tracks that cut straight across the country until his maximum utility path deviated from them, and he had to pull off onto narrow, well-maintained roads in what was clearly the middle of nowhere. Sure, it's not one of those sentinels in the Gobi Desert or the Australian outback, where the 100,000 citizens are scattered over hundreds of empty miles. There are towns here, tiny, shrunken ones that show up as dots on his map projection, almost lost within the erratic, widely spaced sentinel borders. Ken breezes through a couple on his way, white houses with gray slate roofs pitched to let the snow slide off, isolated shops with antiquated signs lit from within, advertising Porcari Sweat or Boss Coffee. Heavy gray clouds make the sky darker than the snowy ground, but it's still technically daytime, and most of the light in the towns comes from glowing information hubs doubling as vending machines. He stops to get a can of coffee at one, his information visuals projecting translations and explanations next to the product descriptions. Then he roars off, and from there it's just road and sharp slopes covered with trees. Even information has little to say here. Ken pulls his mini-motor off the road well outside camera range of the feed he was watching and walks the rest of the way. Bundled as he is against the winter's edge, he won't be recognizable on a feed of that resolution. If anyone happens to be watching, they'll think he's some local farmer stepping into the rundown building for a respite from the cold. Not an undercover political operative slipping in for a meeting he doesn't want anyone to know about. Despite not wanting to be visible any longer than necessary, Ken finds his steps slowing as he nears the pachinko parlor. Below the deadened pink neon of the sign, the building is a fading, windowless gray. The smoked glass door was once automatic, and Ken has to struggle to edge it open. The scant light that makes it into the entrance hallway dies, mired in the moldy plush carpet. The next door, only a few steps away, must once have swung open easily to welcome gamblers, but it...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?